On Detecting Truth from Error, Elder Harold B. Lee, Harold B. Lee, Conference Report, October 1944, pages 72-76, prompted by my reflections over the past months of experiences I have had, and inspired by that very comprehensive message read to us from President Grant, and from the impressions of this meeting, I have some things I should like to say that to me should be vital to all Latter-day Saints, and indeed to all seekers after truth, dreams and delusions. There came to my office some time ago a faithful Latter-day Saint who related an experience in which she was placed in a very embarrassing situation. She had been deceived and led astray by those who professed to have had spiritual manifestations, and because she had followed what she thought was the light, she had found herself in rather serious economic difficulties. As she finished the story of her experience, she asked me this question: "How can one be certain that a thing is true or false, or that his decision is approved of the Lord?" I have thought a lot about that question, because I find it being asked by those who have been led into conditions of confusion, by those who have professed to have received by dreams and revelation certain information as to mining properties that were supposedly for religious and spiritual purposes. I have known of those who have likewise been led into organizations that were unholy because of their listening to teachings of some who professed to set up organizations they call the United Order. It is the same question that many of our fine young women are asking when there are those who encourage them to live in illicit relationships under guise of authorized marriage contracts, by some who profess to be the authorized servants of the Lord. From students who are struggling in their higher education, we have the same inquiry: how may we know the difference between truth and that which we study so often in our textbooks? There are those in the military service, under the pressure of the expediencies of war, who are imbibing many distorted views that they have difficulty in squaring with the truth. In these days hardly do we listen to the radio to one who gives a political speech but what we hear the shouts of untruth, and opposing speakers being called untruthful. In a recent visit to a conference I learned that a man had attained quite a following by relating what he termed a vision, in which the Savior was supposed to have appeared to him, and he thought he was making a great contribution to the personality of the Savior by telling the people that he had red hair, in contradiction to the revelations of the Lord. So in all these experiences the question is asked: how may we know the difference between truth and error, and how may we be able to detect the same? The word of the Lord. As I studied the matter and gave some thought to it, I found the Lord had revealed something very precious to us. He said, "Behold, verily I say unto you, that there are many spirits which are false spirits, which have gone forth in the earth, deceiving the world. Behold, verily I say unto you, there are hypocrites among you, who have deceived some, which has given the adversary power. But behold, such shall be reclaimed, but the hypocrites shall be detected and shall be cut off, either in life or in death, even as I will. And woe unto them who are cut off from my church, for the same are overcome of the world." The Lord has told us further that we should seek the best gifts, that we be not led astray. Apparently the Lord had in mind the very conditions under which we now live, for in the words of prophecy that he gave to his disciples when they asked him how they should know when his second coming was nigh, he said this: "For there shall arise false Christs, and false prophets, and shall shew great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Now mark you these words: who are the elect according to the covenant? Satan's aim is to deceive. Some of those were to be led astray who are to be members of his church. So I am not surprised in this day when with the power of these evil spirits they are finding a following from those who profess membership in the church. The extremes to which the master of darkness would go to lead astray those who were to be deceived is indicated by the experiences of many of our prophets. I cite the experience of Alma's contention with the Antichrist, Corihor, who, you remember, was stricken dumb when he asked for a sign, and while he was thus impressed that the power of the Lord was upon him in judgment because of his wickedness, wrote his testimony that Satan had appeared to him as an angel of light and had told him that there was no such a thing as God. So he may come today with guileful ways, with deceiving and lying spirits, to entrap us. But the Lord has not left his people alone, and those who would may be well guided in the midst of these trying conditions. The prophets of every dispensation, and indeed our own leader in this conference, has told his people how they might avoid these pitfalls. The Apostle Paul said, "I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." light given through the Holy Ghost, the writer of the Gospel of John, told of a light, in describing the powers controlled and operated by the Savior, the true light that was to light every man that cometh into the world. In modern Revelation the Lord told us more about this when he spoke of the light which was to shine, which was to enlighten our understanding, and was to give light and intelligence to all mankind. It was to be in the light of the sun, the moon and the stars. Indeed, we might say this light was to constitute the reason in man and the instinct in animal life, but to baptize believers there was a greater light given, and that was the power of the Holy Ghost which has been spoken of here. That power which Jesus described was to give us power to understand all things, to bring to our recollection that which he had taught, to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment, and to guide us into all truth. Moroni told us that if we ask with a sincere heart, with real intent and with faith in Christ, that by the power of the Holy Ghost we might know the truth of all things, these powers are given to us on condition, and the conditions as to the ways by which man might be darkened and be unable to see and perceive by these great God-given powers were well set forth yesterday by Brother Kimball in his very excellent address. We are to understand further that the wicked one would come and that he should take away light and truth from the children of men through disobedience. I listened to a doctor friend explain a very interesting matter to me, when he said that all germ cells within each individual were directly or indirectly connected with some nerve system. By the connection there was made possible an intelligence in the individual necessary to maintain the vital life processes. So, likewise, it seems to me, that in the church we as individuals must maintain our connection with the source of divine intelligence if we, too, are to maintain and direct the growth of our spiritual lives properly. Failure to maintain this intelligent connection in the germ cell or the individual brings decay, stagnation, and death, in the case of the individual, or spiritual death in the case of a member of this church. There are spiritual phenomena that have sometimes disturbed us and that have seemed to be induced by this master of darkness. The Lord has given us certain definite ways by which we may perceive and detect the same. In one revelation he told us, "And that which doth not edify is not of God, and is darkness, that which is of God is light, and he that receiveth light, and continueth in God, receiveth more light, and that light groweth brighter and brighter until the perfect day." Again he told us we might understand that those who were ordained of God and were set at the head, to them would be given the understanding to know the difference between these spirits, suggesting clearly that it was the business of the members of the church to seek to be guided by the counsel of those who have been set at the head, authority vested in the head of the church. In the revelation given to the prophet Joseph Smith, known as the 132nd section of the Deuteronomy, see, the Lord sets this out in plainness, in which he said that there is only one man on the earth at one time who holds the keys of this authority, by which all contracts and bonds and things pertaining to the salvation of the children of men should be sealed. In an address delivered by Elder Joseph Fielding Smith in October of 1920, he made an explanation of this matter. He said, "I hold the priesthood, you brethren here hold the priesthood. We have received the Melchizedek priesthood which was held by Elijah and by other prophets and by Peter, James and John, but while we have authority to baptize, while we have authority to lay on hands for the gift of the Holy Ghost and to ordain others and do all these things, without the sealing power we could do nothing, for there would be no validity to that which we did. Of course an elder can baptize, and they did baptize before Elijah came, and that was valid, and the ordinance work that was done then was valid, but the higher ordinances, the greater blessings which are essential to exaltation in the kingdom of God, and which can only be obtained in certain places, no man has a right to perform except as he receives the authority to do it from the one who holds the keys. It makes no difference how great an office you have, what position in the church you hold, you cannot officiate unless the keys, the sealing power, is there back of it. I have no right, there is no man upon the face of this earth who has the right to go forth and administer in any of the ordinances of this gospel unless the president of the church, who holds the keys, sanctions it. He has given us authority, he has put the sealing power in our priesthood, because he holds those keys, and if the president of the church should say to us, 'You shall not baptize in this state or in that state, or in this nation,' any man that would go forth to baptize contrary to the command would be violating a command of God and going contrary to authority and power, and that which he did would not be sealed. The man who holds the keys can bestow and he can withdraw, he can give the power, and he may take it again, and if he takes it, that ends our right to officiate. That has been done, it may be done again. How to detect truth from error? I wish that we understood that. I wish that we might understand these principles by which we might obtain this light. As an answer to those who ask us the question, how may we detect truth from error? To all those then who would seek an answer to their question, may we reply by asking them these questions. Are you living righteously in order that you may enjoy the influence of the Holy Spirit and the revelations of the Holy Ghost? Have you studied the matter out in your mind, and then have you asked God if this thing is right? If so, you may have the right to enjoy the Spirit to know that it is right. Does that which you have had presented to you enlighten you? Does it edify your soul? Is it in harmony with the teachings of the gospel? Is it approved and accepted by those who preside as the leaders of the church? If your answers to these questions are in the affirmative, then you are entitled to the great promise that the Lord made in a revelation to this people, in which he said, "And if your eye be single to my glory, your whole body shall be filled with light, and there shall be no darkness in you." And that body which is filled with light comprehendeth all things. May the leaders of this people who sit in this congregation so live and so teach that those who are wavering in their faith, who are being led astray by these false and lying spirits, may be so taught to live and to walk that they might enjoy this fullness of light that will preserve them from the errors that otherwise would bring their downfall. I pray humbly, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Amen.